One verse, Acts 2:28. And I just feel that teaching spirit over me tonight, which I usually do. So 2:28. Peter is talking to these Jews, and they trusted in David. That's who they trusted. And he was letting them know David's gone, his sepulchre's here, we can show you his bones. But this one you have slain, he's not here, he's gone. And he says, thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. My. You have taught me, David says, the ways of life. Not only from the birth to knowing God to the death and believing in the resurrection. That's the way of life for the Christians. But the ways of life. So that I can be full of joy here. And my countenance reflects that. Amen. So I want to talk about the three ways of life tonight. There's three ways. And I've got the board out here because it kind of hit. The reason I write these things down, it helps you remember them. And so I want to talk about the three ways of life. God, we come before you tonight. Lord, we know that you came to bring us life and that more abundantly. But Lord, we have to discover that way of life that you want us to live and how to live it. And we ask you to open up the windows of heaven today and show us things we've never seen or understood before, that we might be a better Christian than we were when we came in Jesus' name. God bless you. You may be seated. The three ways of life. Can I tell you that everyone wants their way? There's not a one of you that don't want your way. There's not a one of you. That's why the Bible says to prefer one over yourself. Because the truth is you want your way. That's just human nature. So that's one of the three ways of life is your way. Y'all pardon my handwriting here. All right, so we're going to talk about the three ways. I don't need that dot. Of life. Number one, your way. Your way. You don't have to teach a child to know they want their way. What obedience is teaching them you don't get your way. See, submission is when you don't get your way. Because the word sub in itself means go under, right? Like submarine, go under. So that means your mission is over my mission. My mission is under your mission. So that's what your way has to change. And so we unfortunately, I guess you would say in some ways, it's just natural for us to want our way. But we're kind of like this pin, we'll call it a pin right here. This is kind of like you because you don't always get your way. And sometimes if you get your way, it's right. And sometimes you get your way, it's wrong. But then there is God's way. And then there is Satan. We'll call it Satan. Satan's way. Now, Satan really means antagonistic. When the Lord called Peter Satan, he didn't really call him a devil. He called him Satan, which the word Satan means to antagonize or to go against. Because Christ was talking about going to the cross. And he said, oh, no, not. He said, get thee behind me, for thou art an offense to me. You're against what I'm wanting to do. Your will is not my will. Your way is not my way. For the scripture says that his ways are above our ways and his thoughts are above our thoughts. So there's three ways of life here. There's your way, there's God's way, and there's Satan's way. And what happens is your way will be swayed, meaning you get off of your way. That's what sway means, to come off of your way, and you will be influenced to either be an instrument of righteousness or God or unrighteousness or of Satan. Because he said, to whomever you lend yourself to, I give it to you and you're a righteous person, you're going to use this righteously. But if I lend myself to you and you're an unrighteous person, you're going to use this unrighteously. So what happens is your way is stuck between these two ways. And it's whoever you influences you. This is going to write whatever I want it to write. It's going to get my way. If I'm God, it's going to be my, if I'm going to handle this, it's going to be my way. And Satan says, if I'm going to handle this, it's going to be my way. So the truth is, you really don't get your way. You are an instrument, and you're going to be influenced by whom. So the scripture says, to whomever you lend yourself to, either righteousness or unrighteous, you become the instrument of righteousness or unrighteousness. So I want to lend my thoughts, my life, my everything to God's way. Because I want God to use me. And the only way he can use me is I have to give up my carnal ways and the desires that the world would have for me and say, God, I'm yours. Have your way with me. Right? We always come here, Lord, have your way. It's up to you whether he has his way. Come on. It's not up to him if he has his way. It's up to you if he has his way. Oh, this is good teaching already. So, life started out in the very, very beginning, just like in the very beginning of your life, in kind of this stage of you always wanted your way, but you didn't know any different, right? I mean, it's like you have to teach a child that you don't always get your way. And you have to teach them sometimes all the way to the grave you don't get your way. But Adam and Eve started out doing things the way they wanted to do it. Okay, the way they wanted to do it, but they would be swayed and influenced by either what God said or intended them to go, the path God wanted them to travel, or would they be influenced by this other influencing factor that was in the garden when they were in the garden. And so he told them that they could freely eat of every tree in the garden. You get your way. Let me say this, because we don't think of it this way. You can even freely eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. He didn't put a flaming sword there at that time to stop them from eating that tree. Later, he puts a flaming sword so they can't eat the tree of life. Because their way ended up being corrupted. But he told them, you can eat of every tree freely. But even that one right there. But the day you eat of this tree, then judgment, consequences befall you. And so they were free to do whatever they wanted to do. But let me just tell you, the ways of God is always judgment. He's a judge. He looks down, he's a judge. And so when we look at Romans 6 and 20, I'm going to walk you through this teaching. Just go slow so you can let it sink in like that slow rain that's going on. For when ye were the servants of sin. See, you're going to serve somebody, the old song said. Servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. Right? You were free. You were free from righteousness. I'm free, yeah. I'll do whatever I want to do. I'm free. Yeah, you're free from righteousness, but you're a servant of sin. All right? What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? If I said, I want everybody to stand up now and testify of all the things you did when you was young. Let's hear it. Ain't nobody wants to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. That's because now you don't serve that anymore. And it's embarrassing to go back. And I'm glad we don't have to. I'm glad he puts it in the sea. Now, other people may keep remembering it, but he doesn't. He said, I don't remember that anymore. And so we would be ashamed. Why do you want to keep doing things you would be ashamed of? For the end of those things is death. Adam and Eve, the end of that tree, you can eat it, but the end of it is death, separation from God. But now being made free from sin, so Paul said, I can do all things in Christ, but yet some things are not expedient for me to do. Eating that tree is not expedient. I'm free to eat it, but eating it's not expedient. There's places I can go, but you know, that's really not good for me. But now being made free from sin and become servants of God. See, you're going to serve one and be free from the other. or you'll be free from one and a servant to the other. So now that I'm a servant of God, I'm free from sin. Well, Lord, I'd rather be free from sin than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, knowing that it ends up in death. We became the servants of God. Ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, life or everlasting life. Now, everyone's going to have everlasting life, but some to damnation, others to glorification. For the wages of sin is death. It's work to keep sinning, you know. But the gift of God is eternal life. One is wages, like you work and you want to get paid, right? Well, the payment for sin is death, but you can't do enough work to earn God's gift. Because grace is a gift that you get from God. Amen. And so the gift of God is eternal life, but it only comes through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we plainly see how this plays out in the role of Adam and Eve, and they could have been obedient to the will of God and eaten every tree, but not that one. But we find that they were separated from the will of God and the ways of God through their own acts. Now, each one, Adam and Eve, did a different act of sin. They both did two different acts of sin. So I want to examine for you something else under Satan's ways. That's the ways of sin. The ways of sin. Oh, number one. The ways of sin. There are four categories that sin will fit under. Every sin, if I said name one, they're going to fit under one of these four categories. And you need to know this. I mean, we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. One of them, when we look at the two sins, and I'm going to spend more time with the first two of the four sins, I'm going to spend more time with the first two. One of them is disobedience. Disobedience. The sin of disobedience. Saul was guilty of the sin of disobedience. And when you look, now, in each of these, I want you to think as we go through these, which one would you say has the most harsh consequences? Well, disobedience is the sin that we call willful sin. And when you look at judgment, because God ends in judgment, when you look at Saul's sin, who was the ultimate of disobedience, Samuel said that it's better to be obedient than to give sacrifices, right? And to hearken to the fat of rams. So what happened to him? Because he sinned knowing. He even lied about what he said he did, he didn't do. And knowing that he had willfully disobeyed, God stripped him of his anointing. He completely, and Samuel is weeping and crying and is like, oh, God, give him. He said, no, what are you crying for? Don't you know I have rent the kingdom from him and given it to somebody else, a neighbor of his? So look at the harshness. When I say harshness, I'm not saying God is harsh. I'm just saying look at the return of the judgment, maybe based upon the severity of the sin. It's kind of like crime today, right? If you steal a pencil out of a store, you're going to get off a little lighter than murdering somebody, right? Well, can I tell you this, the same thing about getting forgiveness, while God can forgive you of all sins and he's ready to do that, can I tell you the sin of saying a white lie, quote, there is no white lie, but a little lie, would be a whole lot easier to get forgiveness from than committing adultery. It'd be a whole lot harder in my mind. Now, God can forgive us of all of these things. But I would think that if God was going to judge you, or if I was going to judge you, I certainly would say, well, no, don't tell them. Those little lies, they're not good. Adult, are you kidding me? You know, it would be a total different attitude toward the sin. And I'm, as I study these things, I begin to see that God is very similar to that. Very, very works in the same way. So the best example I can give you is the first two sins that happened. Adam was disobedient to the ways of God. The Lord commanded him not to eat of that tree. He said, in the day, now you can do it, but you'll break my commandment. You'll be disobedient to me because I'm telling you, don't do it. Well, you might say, why did God put it there? Because he wanted man to have a choice. The angels serve him with no choice. You either serve me or you're gone. They don't have a choice. I say they don't. They have a choice, but it's not. They don't have forgiveness like we do. And so Adam knew death would follow even so much as touching it. Not just eating it, but touching it. So all the ways of God end in judgment. Let me throw a couple other verses at you. Deuteronomy 32 and 4 says, he is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. We're talking about different ways, the ways of God. All of God's ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. I'm glad God's going to judge me and not anybody else. And then in Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar thought he built this mighty kingdom, so the Lord brings him down, and now he's beginning, his reasoning is returning to him. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are true, and his ways are judgment. He finally realized that the only thing that works are the ways of God. Man's ways do not work in God's sight because they end up being swayed by the devil or Satan. And those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. This was a very prideful man. Now he is humbled and admitting his errors. Now, what causes sin is perversion. It is perversion of God's ways into a satanic way or a antagonistic way. God didn't create evil. Man created evil through Satan's influence. He influences you to do evil. And so evil is simply good that is perverted. Solomon said, whoso walketh uprightly shall be saved. Meaning whoever does right, because God is just and he's right. But he that is perverse in his ways shall fall at once. When you pervert God's ways, I've often taught my kids, there's kind of two stances in the world. There's liberalism and then there's conservatism, right? And I've always told them in living for God, if there is a choice, take the conservative side. Take the conservative side, because on the liberal side, there's no limit to how liberal you can be. But on the conservative side, there really is a limit. You can only be so conservative. And of course, there's extremes on both ends. But I'd rather be, as they say, safe rather than sorry. So disobedience is perversion of obedience. I'm going someplace with all of this. So perversion is to turn away from the right course, perverted. Turn away from what's right and do what's wrong. It's perverted. So God told Adam not to eat of this tree of knowledge of good and evil, but it was perverted. He ended up eating it. He ate it anyway, and the judgment of God, he perverted God's ways. He said, eat of all these trees freely, but this one over here, don't. He perverts it. And when he perverts it, he no longer has access to God's ways. Now he can't eat of any tree in the garden. Because in my belief, disobedience brings on the most harsh judgment of all of them. For he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So then the other one, number two, that's disobedience, is deception. Deception. The Bible tells us that Adam was not deceived. Eve was deceived. Adam was not led away. He was not mistaken. He was not beguiled. He was not tricked. He didn't believe it. He knew the consequences of eating the fruit. However, Eve committed the sin from number two, deception. She was led away. Deception means to be led away. into a falsehood. She knew the truth, but she was led away by the serpent, who was the most subtle of all the beasts. So she was deceived. So when we read in the New Testament, now I like to read about the Old Testament stories in the New Testament, because it really gives you some revelation. 1 Timothy 2:13, for Adam was first formed. Now, not only was he first formed, he was first informed. Yeah, he was first informed. And then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, was in the transgression. Transgression is like trespasses. It means to go over the line. She was, trans means to be moved away. Okay? So she was trans. She was moved away from the truth into falsehood by this lie. How many of y'all ever believed a lie? You're a liar if you say you've never believed a lie. Because we all have believed a lie. Sometimes you thought, well, I didn't know that. Are you serious? No, I'm serious. Well, you know, I always thought it was. And they changed the way you see it because they offered you a different light on the same thing you thought was a certain way. That's what's happened to the church. That's what's wrong with the church today. What the things that we used to, now all of a sudden, we look at it in a different light now. Right? And so that's what Satan did to her. And I'm going to get into that in just a minute. Notwithstanding, now here's the most important thing. Because we know Adam, he wasn't deceived. But he says this, Adam was not deceived, but the woman was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved. What about old Adam? She shall be saved through childbearing. Adam will be saved too, but she, notwithstanding, even though she was deceived, she didn't do what Adam did. Totally different. She swallowed it. She was a convert of Satan. He converted her, what she believed, into what he believed, what he wanted her to believe. It's not what he believed, but what he wanted her to believe. She shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness and sobriety. Now, the they here is not Adam and Eve. He's talking about women. If you read the whole chapter, he's talking about women being quiet in the church and all this kind of stuff. So he said, if you want to learn anything, learn it from your home, your husband, who should be informed first. See? Well, that's a whole other subject right there. But the they here is not Adam and Eve. It's talking about the women in the church. They'll be saved if they'll continue in these things. So the serpent, being the most subtle beast of the field, led her away from the truth so that now she truly believes a lie. She has swallowed this thing. And now comes judgment. Now comes the Lord saying, as we say, where y'all at? Where y'all at? So, which one would you judge more harshly, Adam or Eve? Well, I think the thing is obvious. Adam. And so, the judgment would not be the same. It's not going to be the same. And when we examine this, you'll see. See, even in that scripture in the New Testament, it says, notwithstanding, she shall be saved through childbearing. Not that Adam will be lost, but she had a hope he didn't have. Because she was deceived and he wasn't. So when we look at the blame line, you know what the blame line is here? It's not the bloodline, the blame line. Let's look at the blame line and see how this goes. Because the man he made first, he called first. And he said, Adam, he didn't say, Eve, where are you? He said, Adam, I informed you first. I made you first. She answers to you and you answer to me. That's the headship. That's the way Christ is. That's the way it is in the New Testament church and in the family. It's the way it's supposed to be. And so in chapter 3 and 12 of Genesis, and the man said, you know, why'd you mess up? Why'd you do this? Why are you seeing yourself naked? He said, here's the reason and here's the blame line. The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, You ever done good for somebody and turn around and blame you? If you hadn't bought me that car, then I wouldn't have gotten a wreck. You're the one that said date her. Come on. Well, you were lonely. That's why I said, you didn't have to marry her. But here's what he says. The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat. In other words, the gift you gave me gave to me and made me do this. What you gave me, she gave to me. I wish y'all quit giving stuff to me. Sometimes I have to eat stuff y'all give to me and it's... I don't like it, but I have to tell you, it was delicious, you know. One preacher, and I don't do this, but I know one preacher, I won't say any name. He had a trash can called Spot. And he'd say, well, you say, well, how was that broccoli soup? Because you make some really good, I hadn't had any of that in a long time. But anyway, he would say, he would just throw it in the trash can, in Spot. He'd always say it hit the spot. I'm telling you the truth. Said, oh yeah, that hit the spot. It hit the spot all right. Them men can be deceitful too. All right, now back to my thought here. The gift you gave me corrupted me. When God looked at him and said, it's not good for man to be alone, so I'm going to give you this woman. Now you're going to blame the giver and the gift. Because you don't want to assume the blame, and your eyes were wide open with what you did. He's actually blaming God. Ooh. Now, which one would you be more harsh on? One that blames God or the one that's going to blame the serpent? Huh? Come on. All right. So Adam's blaming the giver, and he's blaming the gift. So we turn our attention now to the woman in the next verse. And the Lord God said unto the woman, the gift, what is this thou hast done? And the woman, the gift, said, the serpent beguiled me. She didn't look at Adam, and she didn't look at God. He did it. The one that, now listen close, the one that is against you is against me. Do you understand the difference here? The one that's against you, God, is the one that's against me too. Because God knew how he was, because he said he was the most subtle beast and all that. He knew he'd been in heaven once before. He knew how he was. But not Adam. Woman, Lord. The woman wasn't against him. She was tricked. She didn't know he would die. She was fully deceived into believing they can continue to live and eat this. And it was good to make one wise, and they'd be smarter, and all this kind of stuff. That's what she believed. So she blamed the subtlety of the serpent. I was deceived. Listen close. I was led away. And so the judgments of the Lord is different on this one that is deceived than the one that is not deceived. The one that is in disobedience. And the Lord said unto the serpent, now he's going to, you're the last in the line here. He can't say the devil made me do it. Because thou hast done this, now what did he do? He tricked the woman. So he's going to get the penalty not for what happened to Adam, but what happened to the woman. Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above all the beasts of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the man, the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, but thou shalt bruise his heel. Meaning, notwithstanding, she shall be saved through childbirth. That's what Timothy, Paul said in the book of Timothy. Unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrows, and in thy conception, and in thy sorrows thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And there's a whole great sermon in that. In other words, she will be able to overcome her problem through childbirth because she was not disobedient, she was deceived. And every one of us have done both of these. You've been disobedient and you've been deceived. And unto Adam, he said, because thou hast hearkened to the voice of thy wife. You didn't hearken to the voice of the devil. You hearkened to the voice of the one I created second. And you were the most informed, and you let her talk you into doing what you know you shouldn't do. Because you hearken to the voice of the wife and hast eaten the fruit, of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. You weren't tricked, pal. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. You and the devil's gonna, every time you stir up the dust, he's right there. For thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Now there were four voices in the garden. You with me? The voice of the Lord, the voice of Adam, the voice of Eve, and the voice of the serpent. There were only four voices in the garden, and Adam hearkened to the voice of the woman. Not the voice of God, not the voice of the serpent, but the voice of the woman who was deceived. Thorns and thistles shalt thou bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it, you see, it looks like he's almost given him no hope. But you read what he said to the woman, she's going to bruise your heel, but you're going to bruise his head. And then we read on Timothy, he said, notwithstanding, the woman's going to be saved through childbirth. This disobedience thing doesn't go over good. For out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. Now please don't get me wrong, I believe Adam was saved through Christ just like we all are, because we've all been Adam at one time. We've all been Eve at one time. Okay? Which brings me to number three, because I got to hurry. Does ignorance start with an I or an E? I'm not that ignorant. Did I spell that right? Is that right? You notice the root word in here? Just ignore it. Ignorance. Choosing many times to be willingly ignorant, he wrote in one place. That's number three, the ways of sin. Ignorance is the lack of knowledge. He said, my people are destroyed for what? Their ignorance, their lack of knowledge. So I just didn't know. Man, we have more ways to read this word than ever before, and people still are, they're dumber than they ever were before in knowledge of the word of truth. So it is possible to be a sinner and sin and not know you're sinning. There are things that when, even in my walk with the Lord, that I was doing younger in my life, I didn't see it as sin. I didn't know that was sin. But the Lord quickened my spirit as I began to grow in Him. I said, you know, that's not right. But I was ignorant to it, but I was still doing it, and it still wasn't right. So in the Old Testament, we find that ignorance, the Lord kind of winked on it. They don't wink on it too much today. When they give me a ticket, they say, that fire extinguisher, you can read about that in that pamphlet they got. It said it's on page such and such. Well, I don't have one. That's no excuse. See, the Lord don't wink. Well, I didn't know. It's no excuse. It says in Acts 17:30, and the times of ignorance God winked at, but now. Everybody say now. Now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Change your ways. In 1 Peter 1 and 4, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. Many times he'd write, I'd not have you ignorant, brethren, this one thing. And he would talk about, don't be ignorant like those that carried away with idols. You know, he would try to educate them. And that's what I try to do as your teacher here, is I don't want you to die ignorant. and be lost because you didn't know. There are people, I do believe, that are willingly ignorant. Some could be here tonight. And I'm not talking about just our church members. I just mean the whole world could be here. But they're willingly don't want to go. And you tell somebody, oh, I don't want to hear that. That reminds me when I get ready to sing my wife a song. There's certain songs that, you know, you say, I'm going to sing you a little song. She'll go, blah, 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 because she knows that it gets in your mind, you know. And I was like, oh, Daniel prayed every morning, noon, and night. And I just rolled on and on. I said, let me sing you a little song. Blah, 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 blah. And that's what people do. Let me tell you about the Lord. Blah, 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 blah. I don't want to hear it. Willingly ignorant. Access to it, don't want to know it. No excuse. Sin. It's sin. Then, number four. Blindness. These are all different, folks. Disobedience, deception, ignorance, blindness. Blindness is when it's there, but I can't see it. This Bible is here, but I can't see it because this has blinded me. No, still no excuse. Watch. Scripture we often quote, it says, but if our gospel be hid, 2 Corinthians 4 and 3, if our gospel be hid, see, it's hid. Something that's hid is there, but you don't see it. And he talked in another place about Israel, how blindness in part has come to them. But one day he'll open their eyes to see all things. But right now that's not the case. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them which are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believed not. Now it's important you understand this. It says he blinded the minds of them which believed not. You cannot come to God except you first believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seeks him. So he blinds the mind of them that believed, even though they saw all the works that Christ did, they didn't see it. They saw it, but they didn't see it. And that's why he would preach, Brother Donnie, he that hath an ear, let him hear. They heard it, but they didn't hear it. And then James would write, don't be a hearer of the word only, but be a doer of the word. Don't just hear it and say, well, that's not for me. Do it. So he said, they're blinded because they don't believe, lest the light of this glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. They didn't believe that Christ was God in flesh. So therefore, they didn't believe any of the works of Christ. So the God of this world has blinded them. And so right in this area here, there are people that they just don't see it. You'll witness to people that, how many of you, it was a light went off? How many of you, when I finally saw it, it was like, man, a light went off. I'm like, now I see it. I understand it. Most of you that come out of other religions, that's the way it was. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Christ's sake. So there's the four ways of sin right there is disobedience, deception, ignorance, and blindness. And you know what? We've all been parts of these things. Every one of us, I've been blind to some things. I have been ignorant to some things. I have been disobedient to some things. I have been deceived by some things. Lastly, and most importantly, is this scripture here, 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, they're going to have to do these three things. Humble themselves. Four things. Humble themselves. They're going to have to pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Amen. There are some people that their ways are wicked. It's just their ways. Sometimes it seems like it's a whole family trait. It's their ways. That's the way they do things. He said, but if you'll humble yourself, if you'll pray, if you'll seek my face, turn from your wicked ways, that means repent, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. God wants to have his way in your life. But he cannot have his way and heal your land and give you peace and give you joy and you have your way or Satan's way at the same time. Only one of them is going to get their way. How can two walk together in the way except they be agreed? Oh, Lord, have mercy. The wages of sin are death. Consequences of judgment is death. There's two types of children. I got a lot of these numbers tonight. Two types of children that know the gospel. Children of obedience and children of disobedience. It's what the writer said. You're either a child of obedience or a child of disobedience. Obedience should be a way of life. Obedience is a conforming life. Not conformed to this world, but transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove the ways of God, that which is good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. Amen. You want God to have His way in your life? He's waiting on you to let Him have His way in your life. Amen. If you humble yourself, you'll pray and turn from your wicked ways. And He said, I will heal your land. Why don't you stand with me tonight? I hope you learned something from this teaching. Yeah. Amen. Amen. If you want to know more, ask God for more. Some people are satisfied with where they're at. I feel saved. Think I'm saved. Never grow. Right. Ever learning, never coming to the full knowledge of the truth. And that's what I want to try to do for you. As God teaches me, I want to teach you. I'm still correcting my ways.
Yes, sir.
He's still working on me, like the old song says. He's still working on me. And I want to work on you through the ministry. Let's pray before we go. God, I'm thankful for your blessings. I'm thankful for your mercies. I thank you, Lord, for your ways, God. Hallelujah. I'm asking you, Lord, help me to get out of the way. Hallelujah. And lend myself to you, God, that you can work in my life, work in this church's life, work in each person, God, that comes here. But, Lord, I ask you to help the people that are here today to humble themselves, pray, seek your face, and turn from their wicked ways, God, that we may hear from heaven and you'll heal their land, their family, their job, their children, God. You'll make them whole and the way of God could be displayed throughout their lives if we'll give up our ways and be in submission to your ways in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Be careful going home. The roads may be slick.